Tomorrow marks the deadline for a decision from President Trump on whether or not he will relocate the U.S. embassy in Israel. In June, he signed a waiver delaying the move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem for 6 months. But in a speech at the United Nations on Tuesday, Vice President Mike Pence said that Trump is, quote, actively considering when and how to make the move. Aaron David Miller is a distinguished scholar in the Middle East program at the Wilson Center. He's a former advisor to Republican and Democratic secretaries of state on Arab-Israeli negotiations, and he joins us now. Welcome back.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Jeremy.
And you say that recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital would be the single dumbest move this administration has made in the Middle East. Why?
I know that seems somewhat hyperbolic, but in large part because there's not a single compelling American national interest, in my judgment, that would impel, compel, or justify that action. And it's not the question of whether or not our embassy belongs in West Jerusalem. It does. I think that that Israel is in the anomalous position of being the only country in the world in which the United States does not have its embassy in the host country's preferred capital, capital of choice. But the reality is, what does the United States get out of this, and what are the risks? The Jerusalem Embassy Law, which was passed by Congress in 1995, has a national security waiver provision. And again, exercising the waiver, which is done every 6 months, does not mean that the president is going to move the embassy. The language calls for opening an embassy. An argument has been made that the president simply doesn't have to sign the waiver. And if he doesn't sign the waiver, the State Department's budget for building and appropriations is cut by 50%, which would give the department a real incentive, according to some, to see about opening an embassy in Jerusalem. But on policy grounds alone, it frankly would undermine any semblance of the United States as an effective broker in these negotiations, and it would push to the front of the pile the one issue. And at Camp David in July 2000, negotiations all but collapsed over the issue of Jerusalem. I mean, I was there. I remember it quite well. And I think what would happen is you would have a situation in which the whole focus of Jerusalem would not be on the embassy. It would end up being where it's been most often in the past, on the holy overlapping sacred space, the Haram al-Sharif, Har HaBayit, the whole issue of the Temple Mount and the two mosques. And I think in the end, Jeremy, I don't understand what we get out of the deal.
So why do you think the Trump administration has been pushing for this? And it sounds like more than ever.
I think, and I will make this prediction, by the time, assuming the president serves a four-year term, I suspect that by the end of that term, the administration will have made a decision to actually not move the embassy, but to open an embassy in some fashion in Jerusalem. I think the reason is, I think ideologically and politically, this administration is determined to break new ground in the U.S.-Israeli relationship. You had Mr. Trump visiting Israel earlier than any of his predecessors. You had Mr. Trump, the first American president, to actually pray at the Western Wall. You've got a president who, I think, is interested in breaking crockery. And a set of advisors, it seems to me, perhaps now with Mr. Tillerson, rumors of his departure and the entrance of Mike Pompeo, you may have less pushback from not from General Mattis, but perhaps from Mr. Pompeo. So I think the moon, the sun, and the stars are aligning for this move. It's just I'm not persuaded it'll happen. Well, it'll happen on December 1st.
You brought something up that I do want to ask you about in the minute or so that we have left, which is there is a New York Times report, and others are reporting this as well, that President Trump is planning to replace Secretary of State Rex Tillerson with the CIA Director Mike Pompeo. Now, NPR has not confirmed that, but what would the broader implications of that be in your view?
I mean, I think that any Secretary of State, whether it's Mike Pompeo or someone else, will fundamentally face the same problem that Mr. Tillerson faced. They're going to be sandwiched between a cruel and unforgiving world in which there are very few fixes to any of the problems out there for the United States. On one hand, an unpredictable, idiosyncratic president who appears not to value diplomacy, have little regard for the State Department, or for a coherent foreign policy process. I will say this. If Mike Pompeo does, in fact, get the job, one thing will happen. The railroad is going to run a lot more smoothly. They're much closer, the two of them, than Mr. Tillerson was with Mr. Trump, and they share proclivities on policy issues, North Korea and Iran. They're much closer there as well.
And the reporting is indicating that Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas would replace Pompeo at CIA. Again, NPR hasn't confirmed that, but we will keep an eye on that story. Aaron David Miller, distinguished scholar at the Middle East Program at the Wilson Center. Always a pleasure to have you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.